77. Trust. One danger in deploying such a potent weapon will be the potential encouragement of those exploring the Nail Bond. Care must be taken to avoid placing these subjects in situations of powerful stress, unless you accept the consequences of their potential investiture. From the diagram, Floorboard 27, Paragraph 6.
Like a river suddenly undammed, the four armies flooded out onto the plateaus. Shallan watched from horseback, excited, anxious. Her little part of the convoy included Vatha and her soldiers, along with Mari, her lady's maid. Gaz notably hadn't arrived yet, and Vatha claimed to not know where he was. Perhaps she should have looked more into the nature of his debts. She'd been so busy with other things. Storms. If the man vanished, how would she feel about that? She would have to deal with that later. Today she was part of something extremely important. A story that had begun with Gavilar and Dalinar's first hunting expedition into the unclaimed hills years ago. Now came the final chapter, the mission that would unearth the truth and determine the future of the Shattered Plains, the Parshendi, and perhaps Alethkar itself. Shallan kicked her horse forward, eager. The gelding started to walk, placid, despite Shallan's prodding. Storming animal. Adolin trotted up beside her on Shore Blood. The beautiful animal was pure white, not dusty gray like some horses she'd seen, but actually white. That Adolin should have the larger horse was patently unfair. She was shorter than he was, so she should be on the taller horse. "You purposely gave me a slow one," Shallan complained. "Didn't you?" "Sure did." "I'd smack you if I could reach you up there." He chuckled. "You said you don't have a lot of experience riding, so I picked a horse that had a lot of experience being ridden. Trust me, you'll be thankful."
"I want to ride in a majestic charge as we begin our expedition."
"And you can do so."
"Slowly."
"Technically, slow speeds can be very majestic."
"Technically," she said, "a man doesn't need all of his toes. Shall we remove a few of yours and prove it?" He laughed.
"As long as you don't hurt my face, I suppose."
"Don't be ridiculous. I like your face." He grinned, shard plate helm hanging from his saddle so as to not mess up his hair. She waited for him to add a quip to hers, but he didn't. That was all right. She liked Adolin as he was. He was kind, noble, and genuine. It didn't matter that he wasn't brilliant or whatever else Kaladin was. She couldn't even define it. So there. Passionate. With an intense, smoldering resolve. A leashed anger that he used because he had dominated it. And a certain tempting arrogance. Not the haughty pride of a high lord. Instead, the secure, stable sense of determination that whispered that no matter who you were or what you did, you could not hurt him, could not change him. He was, like the wind and rocks were. Shallan completely missed what Adolin said next. She blushed. "What was that?"
"I said that Sabariel has a carriage. You might want to travel with him."
"Because I'm too delicate for riding?" Shallan said. "Did you miss that I walked back through the chasms in the middle of a high storm?"
No. "But walking and riding are different. I mean, the soreness..."
"Soreness?" Shallan asked. "Why would I be sore? Doesn't the horse do all of the work?"
Adolin looked at her, eyes widening.
She said. "Dumb question."
"You said you'd ridden before."
"Ponies," she said. "On my father's estates? Around in circles?" "All right, from that expression, I'm led to believe I'm being an idiot. When I get sore, I'll go ride with Sabariel."
"Before you get sore," Adolin said. "We'll give it an hour."
As annoyed as she was at this turn, she couldn't deny his expertise. Jasnah had once defined a fool as a person who ignored information because it disagreed with desired results. She determined to not be bothered, and instead enjoy the ride. The army as a whole moved slowly, considering that each piece seemed to be so efficient. Spearmen in blocks, scribes on horseback, scouts roving outward. Dalinar had 6 of the massive mechanical bridges, but he had also brought all of the former bridgemen and their simpler man-carried bridges, designed as copies of the ones they'd left in Sadius's camp. That was good, since Zabariel only had a couple of bridge crews. She allowed herself a moment of personal satisfaction at the fact that he'd come on the expedition. As she was thinking on that, she noticed someone running up the line of troops behind her. A short man, with an eye patch, who drew glares from Adolin's bridgeman guards for the day. "Gaz?" Shallan said with relief as he hustled up, carrying a package under his arm. Her fears that he'd been knifed in an alley somewhere were unfounded.
Sorry, he said. It came. You owe the merchant 2 sapphire bromes, Brightness.
It? Shallan asked, accepting the package.
Yeah. You asked me to find one for you. My storming did.
He seemed proud of himself. She unwrapped the cloth around the rectangular object and found inside a book. Words of Radiance, the cover said. The sides were worn and the pages faded. One patch across the top was even stained from spilled ink sometime in the past. Rarely had she been as pleased to receive something so damaged. "Gaz," she said, "you're wonderful." He grinned, shooting Vatha a triumphant smile. The taller man rolled his eyes, muttering something Shallan didn't hear.
"Thank you," Shallan said. "Thank you truly, Gaz."
As the time passed and one day led into another, Shallan found the distraction of the book extremely welcome. The armies moved about as fast as a herd of sleepy chulls, and the scenery was actually quite boring, though she'd never admit that to Kaladin or Adolin, considering what she'd told them last time she was out here. The book, though, the book was wonderful. And frustrating. But what was the wicked thing of eminence that led to the recreants, she thought, writing the quote in her notebook. It was the second day of their travel on the plains, and she had agreed to ride in the coach Adolin had provided, alone, though it baffled Adolin why she wouldn't want her lady's maid with her. Shallan did not want to explain pattern to the girl. The book had a chapter for each order of knights radiant, with talk of their traditions, their abilities, and their attitudes. The author admitted that a lot of it was hearsay. The book had been written 200 years after the recreants, and by then facts, lore, and superstition had mixed freely. Beyond that, it was in an old dialect of Alethi, using the protoscript, a precursor to the true women's script of modern day. She spent a lot of her time sorting out meanings, occasionally calling over some of Navani's scholars to provide definitions or interpretation. Still, she had learned a great deal. For example, each order had different ideals or standards to determine advancement. Some were specific, others left to the interpretation of the Spren. Also, some orders were individualistic, while others, like the Windrunners, functioned in teams with a specific hierarchy. She settled back, thinking about the powers described. Would the others be appearing then, as she and Jasnah had? Men who could glide elegantly across the ground as if they weighed nothing? Women who could melt stone with a touch? Pattern had offered some few insights, but mostly he had been of use telling her what sounded likely to have been real, and what from the book was a mistake, based on hearsay. His memory was spotty, but growing much better, and hearing what the book said often made him remember more. Right now he buzzed on the seat beside her in a contented way. The carriage hit a bump. It was rough out here, but at least in the coach she could read and reference other books at the same time. That would have been practically impossible while riding. The coach did make her feel shut away, though. Not everyone who tries to take care of you is trying to do what your father did, she told herself firmly. Adeline's warned of soreness had never manifested, of course. Originally, she'd felt a small amount of pain in her thighs from holding herself in place in the saddle, but Stormlight had made it vanish. "Mmm," Pattern said, climbing onto the door of the carriage. "It comes." Shallan looked out the window and felt a drop of water sprinkle against her face. Rock darkened as rain coated it. Soon the air filled with a steady drizzle, light and pleasant. Though colder, it reminded her of some of the rainfalls back in Yarkaved. Here in the Stormlands, it seemed that rain was rarely this soft. She pulled down the shades and scooted to the center of the seat so she wouldn't get rained on. She soon found that the pleasing sound of water muffled the soldiers' voices and the monotonous sound of marching feet, making it a nice accompaniment to reading. A quote sparked her interest, and so she dug out her sketch of the shattered plains and her old maps of Stormseat. "I need to find out how these maps relate," she thought. "Multiple points of reference, preferably." If she could identify two places on the Shattered Plains that matched points on her map of Stormseat, she could judge how large Stormseat had been. The old map had no scale. And then overlay it on the map of the Shattered Plains. That would give them some context. What really drew her attention was the Oath Gate. On the map of Stormseat, Yasna thought it was represented by a round disc, like a dais, on the southwestern side of the city. Was there a doorway there on that dais somewhere? A magical portal to Urethiru? How did one of the knights operate it? "Mmm," Pattern said. Shallan's carriage started to slow. She frowned, scooting to the door, meaning to peek out the window. The door opened, however, to reveal High Lady Navani standing outside, Dalinar himself holding up an umbrella for her. "Would you mind company?" Navani asked. "Not at all, Brightness," Shallan said, scrambling to pick up her papers and books, which she'd spread about on all of the seats. Navani patted Dalinar fondly on the arm, then climbed into the coach, using a towel to dry her feet and legs. She sat once Dalinar shut the door. They started rolling again, and Shallan fidgeted with her papers. What was her relationship with Navani? She was Adolin's aunt, but she was romantically involved with his father. So she was kind of Shallan's future mother-in-law, though by Vorin tradition Dalinar would never be allowed to marry her. Shallan had tried for weeks to get this woman to listen to her, and had failed. Now she seemed to have been forgiven for bearing the news of Yasna's death. Did that mean Navani liked her? "So," Shallan said, feeling awkward. "Did Dalinar exile you to the coach to protect you from getting sore, as Adolin did to me?" "Sore? Heavens, no. If anyone should be riding in the coach, it's Dalinar. When there is fighting to be done, we'll need him rested and ready. I came because it's rather difficult to read while riding in the rain." "Oh." Shallan shifted in her seat. Navani studied her, then finally sighed. "I have been ignoring things," the older woman said, "that I should not, because they bring me pain. I'm sorry. You have nothing to apologize for." Navani held out her hand toward Shallan. "May I?" Shallan looked at her handful of notes, diagrams, and maps. She hesitated. "You are engaged in work you obviously think very important," Navani said softly. "This city Yasna was searching for, according to the notes you sent me? Perhaps I can help you interpret my daughter's intentions." Was there anything in these pages that would incriminate Shallan and reveal her powers, her activities as Vale? She didn't think so. She'd been studying the Knights Radiant as part of it, but she was searching for their center of power, so that made sense. Hesitant, she handed over the papers. Navani leafed through them, reading by sphere light. The organization of these notes is interesting. Shallan blushed. The organization made sense to her. As Navani continued to look through the notes, Shallan found herself growing oddly anxious. She'd wanted Navani's help. She'd all but begged for it. Now, however, she found herself feeling like this woman was intruding. This had become Shallan's project now, her duty and her quest. Now that Navani had apparently overcome her grief, would she insist on taking over completely? You think like an artist, Navani said. I can see it in the way you put the notes together. Well, I suppose I can't expect everything you do to be annotated precisely as I'd wish. A magical portal to another city. Yasna actually believed in this? Yes. Navani said. Then it's probably true. That girl never did have the decency to be wrong an appropriate amount of the time. Shallan nodded, glancing at the notes, feeling anxious. Oh, don't get so touchy, Navani said. I'm not going to steal the project from you. I'm that transparent, Shallan said. This research is obviously very important to you. I assume Yasna persuaded you that the fate of the world itself rested upon the answers you find, she did. Damnation, Navani said, flipping to the next page. I shouldn't have ignored you. It was petty. It was the act of a grieving mother. Scholars don't have time for such nonsense. Navani blinked, and Shallan caught a tear in the woman's eye. You're still human, Shallan said, reaching across, putting her hand on Navani's knee. We can't all be emotionless chunks of rock like Yasna. Navani smiled. She sometimes had the empathy of a corpse, didn't she? Comes from being too brilliant, Shallan said. You grow accustomed to everyone else being something of an idiot trying to keep up with you. Channa knows I wondered sometimes how I raised that child without strangling her. By age 6, she was pointing out my logical fallacies as I tried to get her to go to bed on time. Shallan grinned. I always just assumed she was born in her 30s. Oh, she was. It just took 30-some years for her body to catch up. Navani smiled. I won't take this from you. But neither should I allow you to attempt a project so important on your own. I would be part. Figuring out the puzzles that captivated her. It will be like having her again. My little Yasna. Insufferable and wonderful. How surreal it was to imagine Yasna as a child being held by a mother. It would be an honor to have your aid, Brightness Navani. Navani held up the page. You're trying to overlay Stormseat with the Shattered Plains. It's not going to work unless you have a point of reference, preferably two, Shallan said. It's been centuries since that city fell. It was destroyed during Ahari Etiam itself, I believe. We're going to have trouble finding clues out here, though your list of descriptions will help. She tapped her finger against the papers. This isn't my area of expertise, but I have several archaeologists among Dalinar's scribes. I should show them these pages. Shallan nodded. We'll want copies of everything here, Navani said. I don't want to lose originals to all of this rain. I could have the scribes work on it tonight after we camp. If you wish. Navani looked up at her, then frowned. It is your decision. You're serious? Shallan asked. Absolutely. Think of me as an additional resource. All right, then. Yes, have them make copies, Shallan said, digging in her satchel. And copies of this, too. It's my attempt at recreating one of the murals described as being on the outer wall of the temple to Chinaranach in Stormseat. It faced leeward and was supposedly shaded, so we might be able to find hints of it. Also, I need a surveyor to measure each new plateau we cross once we get farther in. I can draw them out, but my spatial reasoning can be off. I want exact sizes to make the map more accurate. I'll need guards and scribes to ride out with me ahead of the army to visit plateaus parallel to our course. It would really help if you could convince Dalinar to allow this. I'd like a team to study the quotes on that page underneath the map. They talk about methods for opening the Oath Gate, which was supposed to be the duty of the Knights Radiant. Hopefully we can discover another method. Also, alert Dalinar that we'll be trying to open the portal if we find it. I do not expect there to be anything dangerous on the other side, but he'll undoubtedly want to send soldiers through first. Navani raised an eyebrow at her.
You've done a touch of thinking about this, I see.
Shallan nodded, blushing. I'll see it done, Navani said. I myself will head the research team studying those quotes you mention. She hesitated.
Do you know why Yasna thought this city, Urethiru, was so important?
Because it was the seat of the Knights Radiant, and she expected to find information on them and the Voidbringers there.
So she was like Dalinar, Navani said, trying to bring back powers that perhaps we should leave alone.
Shallan felt a sudden spike of anxiety.
I need to say it. Say something.
She wasn't trying. She succeeded.
Succeeded?
Shallan took a deep breath. I don't know what she said regarding the origin of her soulcaster, but the truth was that it was a fake. Yasna could soulcast on her own without any Fabriel. I saw her do it. She knew secrets from the past. Secrets I don't think anyone else knows. Brightness Navani, your daughter was one of the Knights Radiant.
Or as close to one as the world was going to have again.
Navani raised an eyebrow, obviously skeptical.
I swear this is true, Shallan said, on the 10th name of the Almighty.
That is disturbing. Radiants, heralds, and void bringers alike are supposed to be gone.
We won that war.
I know. I will go get to work on this, Navani said, knocking for the carriage driver to halt the vehicle.
The weeping began, a steady stream of rain. Kaladin could hear it inside his room like a whisper in the background. Weak, miserable rain, without the fury and passion of a true high storm. He lay in the darkness, listening to the patter, feeling his leg throb. Wet, cold air leaked into his room, and he dug for the extra blankets that the quartermaster had delivered. He curled up and tried to sleep, but after sleeping most of the day yesterday, the day that Dalinar's army had left, he found himself wide awake. He hated being wounded. Bed rest wasn't supposed to happen to him. Not anymore. Syl. The weeping was a bad time for him. Days spent trapped indoors. A perpetual gloom in the sky that seemed to affect him more than it did others, leaving him lethargic and uncaring. A knock came at his door. Kaladin raised his head in the darkness, then sat up and settled himself on his bench of a bed. Come, he said. The door opened and let in the sound of rain, like a thousand little footsteps scrambling about. Very little light accompanied the sounds. The overcast sky of the weeping left the land in perpetual twilight. Moash stepped in. He wore his shard plate, as always.
Storms, Cal. Were you asleep? I'm sorry.
No, I was awake.
In the darkness?
Kaladin shrugged. Moash clicked the door shut behind him, but took off his gauntlet and hung it from a clip at the waist of his shard plate. He reached beneath a fold in the metal and pulled out a handful of spheres to light his way. Riches that would have seemed incredible to Bridgman were now pocket change to Moash.
Aren't you supposed to be guarding the king?
Kaladin asked.
On and off,
Moash said, sounding eager.
They quartered the five of us guards up by his rooms, in the palace itself.
Kaladin, it's perfect.
When?
Kaladin asked softly.
We don't want to ruin Dalinar's expedition, Moash said. So we're going to wait until he's out there some distance. Maybe until he's engaged the enemy. That way he'll be committed and won't turn back when he gets news. Better for Alethkar if he succeeds at defeating the Parshendi. He will return a hero and a king. Kaladin nodded, feeling sick. We have everything planned out, Moash said. We'll raise an alert in the palace that the assassin in white has been seen. Then we'll do what was done last time. Send all of the servants into hiding in their rooms. Nobody will be around to see what we do. Nobody will get hurt. And they'll all believe that the Shin assassin was behind this. We couldn't have asked for this to play out better. And you won't have to do anything, Cal. Graves says that we won't need your help after all. So why are you here? Kaladin asked. I just wanted to check on you, Moash said. He stepped in closer. Is it true, what Lopin says? About your abilities? Storming-haired Dazian. Lopin had stayed behind, with Dabbard and Haber, to take care of the barrack and watch over Kaladin. They'd been talking to Moash, it seemed. Yes, Kaladin said. What happened? I'm not sure, he lied. I offended Syl. I haven't seen her in days. Without her, I can't draw in Stormlight. We'll have to fix that somehow, Moash said. Either that or get you plate and blade of your own. Kaladin looked up at his friend. I think she left because of the plot to kill the king, Moash. I don't think a Radiant could be involved in something like this. Shouldn't a Radiant care about doing what is right, even if it means a difficult decision? Sometimes lives must be spent for the greater good, Kaladin said. Yes, exactly. That's what Amaram said, in regards to my friends, whom he murdered to cover up his secrets. Well, that's different, obviously. He's a Light Eyes. Kaladin looked to Moash, whose eyes had turned as light a tan as those of any Bright Lord. Same color as Amaram's, actually. So are you. Cal, Moash said, you're worrying me. Don't say things like that. Kaladin looked away. The king wanted me to deliver a message, Moash said. That's my excuse for being here. He wants you to come talk to him. What? Why? I don't know. He's been dipping into the wine now that Dalinar is gone. Not the orange stuff, either. I'll tell him you're too wounded to come. Kaladin nodded. Cal, Moash said. We can trust you, right? You're not having second thoughts? You said it yourself, Kaladin said. I don't have to do anything. I just have to stay away. What could I do anyway? Wounded with no spren. Everything was in motion. It was too far along for him to stop. Great, Moash said. You heal up, all right? Moash walked out, leaving Kaladin in the darkness again.